This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I hope everybody's safe and happy. And I'm very interested in this one particular guest because she seems to be someone that does it all. She's an author. She's a life coach. She's just a really interesting person. Her name is Dawn Earhart Witte. You've written a book, haven't you, Dawn?
I have written a few books, but yes, thank you.
And as a life coach, when did you get into life coaching? Because it seems a lot of people are wearing that hat. Tell me about your life coaching, and then I want to ask you about the organization that you founded that's called Desire to Inspire.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, first of all. It's such a wonderful opportunity to be able to share my work with the world. I'm a certified life coach, but I don't find life coaching clients because the reason I wanted to learn the life coaching skills and practices and all of the information that goes along with life coaching is because I wanted to take this to Africa with me and teach the children there, you know, about living in an abundant universe and living outside of lack and, you know, living into their highest and greatest purpose. So I'm not a practicing life coach, but I'm a certified life coach. So again, my clients don't pay me in money, but they pay me in love.
Oh, wow. That's very noble of you.
It is such a gift to me to be able to do this.
So you're working with children in Africa specifically, or just people in general?
My heart is always goes to the children. But, you know, anybody that comes into my sphere, you know, I want to help lift them too. And, you know, the adults that are helping the children need to be lifted as much as the children do. So, you know, anybody that comes into my sphere, if it's a dog or a goat, you know, I will help them also because I just will help any soul that needs some help. That's why I'm here.
Wow. So you know what your life purpose is to help people this way. So you've been doing this for a while, it sounds like. So how did you decide to found the organization Desire to Inspire? I love the way it sounds.
Thank you. I like the alliteration on that too. You know, it's funny. I started it before I went to Africa the first time. And the reason I wanted to start it was because, you know, and I think that right now the reality that we're living in with COVID and, you know, you turn on the news and there's something terrible happening constantly everywhere. And you just, if you went by the news alone, you would think we live in a terrible world. And there are terrible things that do happen in this world. I'm not oblivious to that, but I also know so many people, so many more people that are doing incredible things. You know, they're rescuing dogs. They're helping pregnant mothers who are homeless. They're helping all kinds of people in all kinds of different ways. And I just thought, I want to bring those people, expose those people to the world because we need to hear more of those stories because I think there are far more of those stories than there are the ones that we see on the news. And then after I started it and I filed my, you know, all the forms for, you know, forming a nonprofit and everything, I went to Africa the first time and I fell in love with the people there. And I just thought, you know, talk about inspiration. They're struggling to find clean water and food every day, yet these people are loving and kind and generous. And that to me is the ultimate inspiration. So it has been my journey ever since, you know, my trip to Africa to lift the continent there because there is a lack and to also lift us here with the soul that they so freely give.
What kind of lack did you find in Africa? Because I know there are some problems over there. I've interviewed a couple of people that work or from Africa and they do special work for African children. So tell me more specifics about that. I'm really curious.
You know, I mean, just having clean water easily accessible is a challenge. Not to everybody in the cities. If there's ample water, there's an abundance of a lot of different things. You know, you'll see Land Rover dealers and things. So not all of Africa is impoverished, to be sure. But in smaller villages, more rural villages that are outside of the bigger cities, you know, they are lacking for clean water. They do lack for food. Basic medical care is something that is a privilege to them. And these are things that we take, you know, mostly for granted, especially, you know, the clean water. You know, not to be able to go turn on your faucet and have water accessible is something that, you know, you live in a few days and you just think, wow, this really is terrible. I mean, if you've ever had your plumbing worked on in your house and you were out of water for a couple hours and you're just like, oh, I forgot I have no water.
Yeah.
To have that be your daily existence is really quite sobering. But again, the lack of soul, the lack of love, the lack of spirit that they have, you know, there's no lack there.
Oh, wow. That's good to know. I'm curious. I know that Africa is a multilingual continent. There's several different African languages. They speak French. They speak a little English. They speak Portuguese in some areas. Tell me how you get around the language barrier.
Well, you know, and it's even more complicated than that, because in Ghana, just Ghana alone, each one of the different districts has their own language. You know, I don't even know. There's probably 1,000 different languages across the continent of Africa, because Africa's huge. But I have been fortunate enough to, when I talk to people, I either have somebody who translates for me if we're in a remote village where they don't speak any English. A lot of people do speak English.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the language of love knows no words.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, you know, I make my way.
That's wonderful. And so you work with mostly children and you work with adults as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess they'd love to see you coming.
You know, I didn't realize how significant it was to them or how impactful it was to them. Because for me, it's like, of course I want to be here. And for them to tell me how significant that was for them, that I came all the way from where I came. And I've come multiple times. I haven't just come once and, you know, forgotten about them. I visited them, some of them, 4 different times over 3.5 years. And just to hear that matters to them, because I see them and that makes them feel like they matter. They matter in the world, but there's some person, some crazy woman who thinks that they are the most special things in the whole entire world. And so that is a gift for me to be able to give to them.
That's really noble of you, I would say, definitely, because I think many of us take what we have for granted, even during these trying times. Have you gotten any kind of a read on what they're going through during this COVID situation? Because I understand that that the coronavirus is a real problem over there, more than here, if you can imagine.
Well, I would say that the shutdowns are more of a problem than the coronavirus over there. Each country has different, you know, restrictions and things like that. But, you know, it definitely has made a difficult situation far more difficult. And they're starting to come out of it. Like, their society is starting to get past it and open up and move forward. So, you know, things are starting to flow more there. But, you know, for a while, I would get messages from people, and I get these messages literally at least 50 a day from people I don't know and I haven't met, telling me, you know, how dire the situation is. Some people have resorted to like finding grasshoppers and eating them because that's all they have access to. And so sometimes that weighs very heavy on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I can only help so many people, but I want to help everyone and to know that somebody exists. And now that they've come into my world, it just, you know, it hurts my heart to know that that exists. But, you know, I believe that there's a higher and greater good throughout all of this. And we're going to figure it out and we're going to be better for it. That's my prayer.
What actually prompted you to do this? Because, you know, you live here in the United States, and I think that we take things for granted, not as much as we used to. But what prompted you to get involved in this kind of a mission? Because it's quite an undertaking for one person.
You know, I think when I was a little child, to have the notion that there were some people, a lot of people in the world that didn't have food. It really always weighed very heavily on my soul. Like I couldn't wrap my head around, like, how can that be and how can we allow it to be? And now, you know, because I know that it exists and now I know these people, I can't allow it to be anymore. It has always been a calling. I don't know if it's a soul contract I signed up for before, you know, I came onto this earth. I'm not exactly sure, but it's always been a calling.
Do you have anybody helping you or do you do this single-handedly?
I do. Magically. You know, when I first went to Africa, I knew not a soul. And now I literally have hundreds. I mean, I know thousands of people, but I have hundreds of people that I consider my close family there. And so my friend Nana, he is one of the most generous, caring souls I've ever met in my life. He lives in Ghana. I met him 3.5 years ago. We have traveled all over Africa together since. His family is my family. My friend Davis, I call him my son because he's younger than my daughters. He's this amazing photographer. I met him in Kenya. He just wants to help make the world a better place. So I've traveled all around Kenya and Uganda with him. There's Father John, who I met in Rwanda. You know, these people have come into my path. But again, I stepped out into that world, not knowing what was going to happen. I didn't know anybody. And then to see what has the connections that I've made. I mean, I'm friends with members of parliament in Uganda today. And the first time I went to Africa, I knew nobody. So, you know, miracles do happen. And when you're walking your path, those things come your way.
In Uganda, I'm wondering if you're aware of, you probably are more than I am. Maybe not. I understand that there's a disease that happens with some of the young children over there, the boys in particular, called Duchenne's. And I hear it's very quite devastating. Are you aware of that?
That is one I have never heard of before.
Yeah, Duchenne's. I didn't have the interview to tell you about stuff, but
Well, now I will have to look it up.
Please do, because it's devastating. From what I understand is it's a genetic disease, and the gene for this disease is carried by the mother, but it manifests through the father and the children that the mother would give birth to. The boys in particular would catch this disease, and it causes quite a bit of devastation to them in terms of their development. And most of the children, most of the young boys, become crippled and they die by the time they're 20 years old. I think the average life expectancy for a child from Uganda that has Duchenne's is about 16 years old. Can you imagine such a thing? I think you're the one to take a look at that. I have not been involved with anybody that has that disease, but I once interviewed a gentleman on the show about his sons. They were just regular American young boys and Caucasian. Had suffered with this disease as well, but it's prevalent in Uganda.
Well, I will definitely look into that because now that it's come into my sphere, I must look into this.
Yes. And the gentleman, his sons died from it. His two sons died from it. And he has a special foundation and a project that you might be interested in. It's called Duchenne's disease, and it's terrible. What happens is the children look normal in the beginning, and then what happens is their calves become disproportionately enlarged, just their calves. It's a very strange thing to see, and the next thing you know, they're crippled, and the next thing you know, they're in a wheelchair, and the next thing you know, they die. It's a terrible thing.
Oh, the world is full of terrible things, and that's why I really feel compelled to always help. Because, you know, there are terrible things and we can't fix them unless we all chip in and support each other and help lift each other.
And you have to know about it. And, you know, I think it's wonderful, your desire to inspire organizations. I know that in Malawi, they have a problem with the girls being educated in Malawi.
Oh, that happens all over Africa. All over the world, actually.
Yeah. So you can acknowledge that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how did you end up doing this? Because you sound like so vivacious, and I can hear that you're an American by the way you sound, and suddenly you decide to take on the world and embrace and help. I always wonder what it is within a person that makes them decide to take on this challenge. It's very admirable.
You know, I believe that we are all born with gifts and talents and passions and desires. And, you know, I joke with people and I'm like, look, I'm not really good at singing. I'm not really artistic. I have no very, you know, much athleticism. But the gift that I have is that I know that I love loving people. I love loving animals. I love just loving. And so that is my gift to the world. And so, you know, if that's my gift, I have to use it. If you're like an amazing basketball player or you're an amazing painter, you know, you need to put that into the world. The world needs that because that's why you were given that gift. So I feel like I was given this gift because I'm supposed to use it. And, you know, once I realized that, you know, loving people is actually a gift. You know, I thought, well, that's just silly. You know, that's not as good as somebody who's a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, any of those amazing things. But I was like, you know what? There is a place for that because I think love is our highest and greatest currency. It's our highest and greatest good. So I had to, like, I feel like I want to live my life as full and fulfilled as I possibly can while I'm here to do so. And touching as many lives in love and kindness as I possibly can is something that motivates me and drives me.
So you've also written some books, I understand. Tell me about that.
It's called, well, Be. It's about seven words that if we all chose to be, we could live our most fulfilled and happiest lives. And it's about, you know, being love in all that we do, being kind. You know, kindness is not something that's hard. I think we make it harder than it should be, you know, being genuine, being like really authentic and true to, you know, who we are for ourselves and for the world, being inspired, like waking up every day and thinking, yes, you know, I get to do this, being strong because, you know, life has challenges. We all face different difficulties and, you know, getting up every single time we fall is the thing that like keeps us going and being happy, you know, being happy because happy is an energy that, you know, you just said, you know, I sound happy because I am happy. So, you know, that you can feel that energy, it comes off. And when you come across somebody who's just like happy in their own skin, happy in their own being, you know, you feel that too. So those are my seven words that I just want to remind everybody that if we could choose to be those things, you know, we can't choose our circumstances. We can't change anything that happens on our external, but we always can choose how we respond to it, how we react to these things. And that's kind of where my books are and the foundation is, you know, hoping that everybody lives their happiest, most fulfilling life.
So who inspires you? Because every inspirer has someone that inspires them. At least I shouldn't say that because I don't know every inspirer, but but I know that I see that as being sort of like a commonality with people like yourself.
Yeah, you know, everything inspires me. I live with a bunch of dogs. I have birds that like I feed in my backyard who like come visit me every day. My children, I mean, my daughters who I gave birth to inspire me. The children I meet inspire me. My Josephine and these amazing people that are taking care of 67 kids in one situation, 30 young girls in another situation where they don't even know how they're going to feed themselves every day, yet they have they see a child in need and they say, come, you know, I'm going to take you in. That inspires me. So I'm surrounded by inspiration. My friends are all just amazing people who look at life in the most beautiful way. So I'm surrounded by it. And so it's easy to stay in that vibrational frequency.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. That's like a law of attraction term. Yes. For law of attraction life coaching, to be able to match the frequency. It's a concept that I understand what you're saying, that you're not actually practicing and having people pay you for it, but you can practice it in your day to day, moment to moment. And this way you're able to even seek out or be sought out from the vibration that you're emitting. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I think one of the things that is my greatest lesson is that, you know, I can't tell anybody who they should be or what they should do. Not even my own children. I never thought that was, I don't even do it with my dogs. So, you know, I want everybody to be like their unique self. I can just role model a certain way of being. And so if I am loving, if I am kind, if I am compassionate with people, you know, they're going to see that that's a way, that is a way to be in the world. You know, that everybody gets to make their choice. But, you know, when somebody looks at my behavior in the world, I want them to see that. I want to emulate that.
You sound like a deliberate manifester. You do, which is a good thing. You do sound like a deliberate manifester. Do you see yourself that way?
I see that magic and miracles have come into my life. So if that's the term that you would like to coin it as, yes. Yes, but it's I have no special gifts that are not available to anybody else. I just have stepped into my highest frequency or vibration or whatever you want to call it. You know, different people in different belief systems call it different things. I just call it love.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, everybody knows what that is, I hope.
Exactly.
I hope so for sure. Because I know I kind of found you through the grapevine on LinkedIn.com. Do you find that you get a lot of your, connections and the kind of tasks you want to take on? Do they come through that as well?
Oh, yeah. Social media is how I've made most of the initial connections I made before I ever went to Africa. I mean, I connected with Nana in Ghana a few months before I was going. I started looking up, you know, organizations in Ghana because I was going to go. And I was like, I might want to connect with some, you know, other organizations. And, you know, we talked, you know, back and forth online for a few months before I went. And when he came to meet me at the airport. And in this first time I'm in Africa, you know, everybody's African around me. I'm just, you know, in a sea of, I don't know where I am. I'm all by myself. And I went outside and I look over and there's thousands of people outside the airport. And I look over and I'm like, that's him. It's like, for some reason, I know that our souls were supposed to know each other.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't have believed it had somebody told me this several years ago. I would have been like, that's weird. But I just have been living this life for 3.5 years and I've seen all of these things like happen. And I'm like, you know what? I believe it. So, you know, again, the connections and all that kind of stuff, it just comes with stepping into it. Even if it sounds totally crazy at the beginning, social media has been how I met Mama Josephine. It's been how I met Susan. And I could have looked at them and been like, they're a scammer. I don't know who they are. They could be, you know, trying to take advantage of me. But I just went with an open heart.
Yeah.
And faith that this was my path. And have there been people that have been, you know, trying to scam and, you know, be on the down low? Yes. But the overarching majority has been, you know, people that are just wonderful. And I can't imagine my life without them.
So do you spend a lot of time in Ghana? Because I've never been to Africa, but I know people from Ghana. My hairdresser's from Ghana. And I just find that I feel that they, I'll say about the people that I know, exude love. It seems to be common. And not that the other people from the other countries don't, but there's something about that culture that just exudes love.
Yes. Yes. I find that about all of the people that I know from not just Ghana, but Africa as a whole. I actually met somebody, he's an actor, he's working on a project, they're trying to raise some funds to put together this film in Ghana, and he has connected with several people in Ghana, he put me in connection with them, and he's from Australia, but he lives in America. And I said to him a couple weeks ago, I said, do you feel a difference when you communicate with the people in Ghana versus, you know, other people that you communicate with in other places in the world? And he said, definitely. I said, it is so loving and it's so warm. It is so magnanimous. And he felt it too. So it's not just me. And now you have also reaffirmed that it is. This is the part of the magic of Africa.
I find that there's a Zen-like quality. Those people, I don't know them all, but the ones that I know, there's a Zen-like quality to them. And again, they sort of exude this love. I can't explain it. All I know is that it is. I think it's interesting that you're attracted to do the work there. And I think that people underestimate the continent of Africa. You know, we kind of think of it as being like this this jungle of existence with no technology and no resources. But there are a lot of resources there. I always pray that people don't try to, like I say, I use the word rape the continent. Yes. I know that there was a problem with the animals, especially the elephants are endangered, the kind of things that go on. So there are people there that are just enterprising, but it seems that you've been able to supersede the negativity. And it's something about you that's able to do that. I'm curious about it. Like, what makes people like you do what you do when the rest of us are just like dealing with the day to day, not doing anything wrong? And I think most people try to do something right and do something nice. But then there are people like you, the people that go out there and they're just like galvanizers.
Well, again, I think that comes from, like, everybody has their own special path and their own special purpose. So I don't think everybody should be doing what I do. But I'll tell you, I'm half Indian. My mother is from Trinidad. My father is German. He was German from Ohio. So I'm a mixed race. I do not understand exactly why it is Africa that I'm drawn to. Why isn't it India? You know, I've asked myself this question for 3.5 years. I have literally gone on shamanic journeys, you know, saying, why Africa? Like, I don't get it. But I know it exists. And when I did go on the one shamanic journey, and I know that, like, for some people, they're like, oh, that's kind of crazy. But, you know, I explore everything. Out there. I want to know what all the belief systems, all the philosophies, because there's like some universal cords that stem through all of them. But when I went on the shamanic journey, my question was, why Africa? I love it being Africa, but I wanted to kind of understand it because it didn't make sense. And I had this vision in my head of little children. And I can still see it when I tell you this right now, these little children wearing school uniforms, sitting at desks. And when I said, why Africa, they all raised their hand. And I was like, oh gosh, you know what? Maybe that's all I need to know. It's them. You know, maybe for some reason, I was tuned in to the frequency of their prayers. And by whatever magic or, you know, reason that is, that's the best I can do. Maybe it has to do with the fact that we're all, like, Africa's the cradle of humanity. So all of us are from Africa.
Explain that, because a lot of people I understand what you're saying, but explain about Africa being the cradle for humanity, because a lot of people deny this. So if you can educate my audience.
Well, you know, I'm not the best educator on that because I don't know all of the all, because, you know, there's so many different belief systems and theories about all of it. But in my own understanding of it, it's like everything started there. You know, I'm not talking biblical, I'm not talking Christianity or anything like that, but that's where the cradle of civilization started.
It's anthropological.
Yeah. And so, you know, maybe my soul is just connecting to wherever, you know, it first emanated from, my first ancestors. I'm not sure.
Yeah. They say that the first mother of Earth was an African woman. And then they didn't some archaeologists find her bones?
Is that Lucy?
I think that's the name. Don't quote me because I'm not well versed, but I do know that. That it really all started there. No matter who you think you are, you originated from Africa. That's what I was taught.
Yeah, and if you look at things about plate tectonics and the earth, the way the earth shifted. And, you know, so there's a whole bunch of things that lend itself to that belief system. And again, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what the right answer is, but I just know the call that I've been called. I think the thing that I find the most magical about Africa, aside from the fact that the fruit is the most delicious fruit I've ever eaten.
Really?
The pineapple and everything. I'm like, I haven't tasted fruit that tastes like this before. The landscape, the sunsets, the sun rises, like everything there is just absolutely phenomenally beautiful. But what I love the most is the people. It's just their huge and generous, magnificent love for each other.
Yeah, right. You know, it's funny. It's like, you're right. From going back to the beginning of the interview, it all starts with love. What are your next plans with your mission? I love what you do. What do you plan to do next?
Well, currently we're doing a Path to Purpose fundraiser. What our goal is to lift an entire community, not only Mama Josephine and the 67 children that she raises that I love very much, but I want to provide jobs for everybody in the entire community, and not just jobs, but jobs, activity, education, you know, community. I want to create something for them so that the entire community gets lifted. So our Path to Purpose fundraiser is, we just started it last month. We're selling bricks, engraved bricks, which will give Father Henry a job making these bricks, and we'll buy these bricks, create this path. We have a land to build a house for Mama and the 67 kids. They have a very small house right now. They're sharing like 5-6 kids in a bed.
Wow.
They're living across a dirt path from a nightclub, you know, needless to say, a nightclub with little kids and drinking and all kinds of illicit activities is not the best place. So we want to move them to a safer place so that they can do agriculture. We can teach them some sewing skills, but invite the community to come in to learn the skills that we want to teach, offer community soccer games, things like that. So the whole village gets lifted. So that's what we're working on right now. That's the current campaign where we've got going. And then I'm hoping, I wanted to be in Africa back in January. I started planning my trip for this year for September. And then the world, you know, happened. And so clearly that didn't happen. But I'm starting to now say, okay, things are starting to open up. So maybe, you know, late spring next year, I really want to put together a volunteer trip. I've talked to so many people who are like, I've always wanted to go to Africa, but I never knew like how to go. And I'm like, come with me, you know, come meet my kids, come meet my family, come meet my people that I love. And so I've got a bunch of people that want to come. So I'm hoping to do that maybe again, late spring, early summer next year.
Okay. And imagine this, there's a fundraising effort. How can somebody contact you if they really want to get involved and maybe contribute or just go to Africa with you?
You can go to my website. That's desiretoinspirefoundation.org. Our campaigns are up there. Pictures on our website. They're all of our beautiful children. You know, there are a couple stock photos, you know, to make, you know, to fill in some areas that we needed like photos for. But for the most part, those are our children. Those are children that I've known, I've loved, you know, that we are helping. And, you know, read about what we're doing, see those kids, you know, you can donate, you know, $5 makes a difference. So don't think that you have to do a $1,000 donation to make a significant difference. Every single little bit helps. And even if it's just a prayer for these kids, that helps too.
Of course. And again, how do they actually donate? How could they go about donating? Should they just contact you?
On the website, there are links to donate. They can email us. You know, donations is not in there, but if they want to say a prayer or they want to ask more information or they want to know how they can volunteer on the ground, maybe they're in Africa and they're not very far. And I've had those people come into our life. And so we have these angels on the ground that have been helping do the work that I can't do because I'm not there, but they've been helping sustain us it's just been, again, the connections that keep coming. So if this calls to anybody, you know, it's not for everybody, but if it does call to somebody, you know, please reach out, because we'd love to have you as part of our team.
Right. That's great. I'm going to make sure that my audience knows about it when we put this particular interview out. And you're actually in California.
I am.
Yeah. I always like the audience to know that this show, this podcast, and as most podcasts, I imagine, goes global. And so we'll make sure that we get the word out through, you know, sending the links out within the different platforms. So again, someone can contact you by going to Desire to Inspire.
DesireToInspireFoundation.org.
DesireToInspireFoundation.org, O-R-G. And I like the fact that you also said that if people don't have money to donate, because these days it seems that money is somewhat short, but you know, prayer goes a long way. I would definitely agree with you on that. There's a lot of power in the prayer. That's the way I feel personally. I'm definitely going to do that, but I definitely want to make sure that my audience knows about you, because I'm just so in admiration of what you're doing, because not everybody can just take themselves and give of themselves to help other people. I feel that there are a lot of us that care, but people often feel that the problem is bigger than they are. And it probably is, but it doesn't mean that you can't do something. And I believe that the prayers can be bigger than anyone, anything, especially when it's combined with a little bit of money. You just never know who's out there that's going to reach deep into their pocket.
Well, you know, I believe that money is one currency, but I think that love and kindness is our highest currency. So a prayer in the universe, I think, is almost more valuable.
Yes, and I agree with you on that one. You know, just I think if you live on the planet for any length of time and touch your energy with anybody, you actually know the power of our energy, our energetic self.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about energetic running around the block or doing 10 laps on the track. It's really a personal energy. Your energy is very strong, and which is what I believe led you to me through Tim.
Magic Tim.
But I think that you're a fantastic person, Dawn. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, I really, this is one of those interviews I did not anticipate.
Oh.
You know, a lot of people want to talk about their missions and what their avocations, their vocations, but you're just so selfless, and I really appreciate you for existing.
Oh.
We need more people like you. It's true.
I thank you for saying that, but I have to tell you, it's not selfless. Like, what the love that I get from these children is more than any dollar amount I could ever make. So it's not selfless. I get back more than what I give.
Well, that's the sign of who you are. And I thank you so much, Dawn, for coming on. I would love to do a follow-up interview with you as you progress through this, just to see where you're at, because I have a feeling things will change for the better for the population that you're addressing as well.
Oh, I would love it. Anytime I'm available. I love this. This is fantastic.
Thank you so much. Going to invite the audience to go to your website, inspiretodesirefoundation.org, because that's where good things are happening. And go and give of yourself, just to go in there and acknowledge and offer a prayer and offer a couple bucks as well. Just reach in your pocket, and you know who you are. You know who I'm talking to. Those people that know, that have the wherewithal to do those things, they know I'm speaking to them. And I thank you again, Dawn, for everything that you do. And DesireToInspireFoundation.org. I'll say with that, I'm going to say goodnight to my audience. Thanks again for coming to visit the Energy Stoners Cafe. I hope everything's going really well for everyone right now during these challenging times that we have on this planet. There are people out there doing good things, and we all have the propensity to do something good. And I thank you again, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.